We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Take a look at the Chicago defense.
Eddie Jackson, Alabama.
Eddie Jackson.
Eddie Jackson has just been phenomenal, not just in coverage where he can play man coverage like a corner can, but back deep and being a bit of an enforcer.
Safety for your Chicago Bears.
Here comes Stafford.
And he's picked off, and it's going the distance. Eddie Jackson has a touchdown. This is an incredible play by Jackson.
2018 Pro Bowl selection and first-team NFL All-Pro.
Rodgers, late pressure coming, throwing over the middle. It's broken up and intercepted in the end zone. Coming out with it, Eddie Jackson. Your Bears are NFC North Division champions.
College football national champion.
Pump fakes and looks to throw downfield. It's intercepted. Picked off by Eddie Jackson, who baited the quarterback. Alabama back on top of the college football world.
All right, thank you, man. Roll Tide.
Eddie Jackson.
You know, I like Eddie Jackson coming up too, man. He continued to do the things he's doing in Chicago. He's representing right.
Eddie Jackson with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
It's a Bears Friday today on The Score. Bears Friday brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Dunkin'. This hour brought to you by the Illinois Secretary of State's office. Visit www.realid.ilsos.gov. Eddie Jackson every Friday at 5 on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. And he's normally getting his glutes or hammies or shoulders worked on. Mm-hmm. This time, is Sandy the masseuse there again, Eddie?
Yes, he is.
And what a tradition.
Yeah, this is a tradition unlike any other. We need to freshen up some of these damn highlights on you, though, Eddie. We need some fresh stuff, man.
Most definitely. This weekend, we got one coming this weekend.
Sunday. I hope so.
You're calling your shot?
I'm calling my shot, man.
What are we going, pick six? What do you think?
I always tell myself the first one's going to always be a pick six. So, yeah, we're going to say pick six.
Just strip the damn ball out of someone's head. When I fell in love with you, you guys are playing in Cincinnati, and you strip A.J. Green, and you recover. You keep your body inside, but right near the chalk. That's when I fell in love with you. I haven't seen that in too damn long, Eddie Jackson.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Got to get more of those. You know, just keep flying around. They're going to come.
What was it like for you last week? You don't normally lead the team in tackles.
Man, I won't say pretty tough out of ordinary. It was just out there just playing, you know, running, roaming around and making plays. You know, they was doing a good job, like gap scheming us up front, you know, just getting guys pushed back. So just kind of, you know, just putting myself in a position to play, you know, closer to the box. And tackles, you know, it was just there for me to make.
Were you happy with how you tackled, Eddie?
Kind of, you know, I came trying to be more aggressive and stuff like that. Some things I wish, one tackle I wish I could have finished, you know, but, you know, it was pretty cool, yeah.
Was that the one on the Jordan Howard touchdown run?
No, it was the one on the, I wish I could have got that one again, though, because I didn't see him, you know, I thought someone was going to be in that gap. You know, and then I seen it was like too late. Like he just ran past. I'm like, man, it's crazy.
I'm glad that's what it was. I've been wanting to talk to you about that for several days because it looked like there might have been somebody pushed right in front of you. And then by the time you realized that Jordan was coming through and he's a large mammal and you kind of just swatted at him with the left hand. But I just noticed the tackling overall last week. I thought you guys tackled high a little bit. Is that a fair criticism?
I guess you could say that, you know, I don't, not really, you know, but, you know, you just got to understand Jordan's 240. So when you playing a back like that, you know, no matter where you hit him, he's a guy that always falls forward, you know.
You know, we said during the week, like, it's probably not by design to have the free safety lead the team in tackles. Like, that's not normally, right? Normally you want that to be, you know, Roquan or something like that, or Danny.
Yeah, but you know, we all got our jobs, so just for me to go out there wherever I'm needed, you know, that's what I got to do. Got to step up. I got to make tackles. Got to make tackles. You know, just play where you need it.
How are you guys holding up mentally through these 4 weeks of losses? 5 weeks, four games.
We've been pretty good. You know, everyone's energy still high. You know, we just, you know, just waiting on it to all turn around. You know, we just continue to get better at little things that we need to fix and. you know, during the week, you know, energy still high. Everyone's flying around, practicing well, and, you know, just not listening to all the outside stuff. But we know what we have to fix, and we're just making those adjustments.
You know, we're talking to Eddie Jackson here on The Score. When you say not listening to the outside stuff, how hard is that? Because you guys have been on every talk show this week, all over national TV.
It's not really pretty hard because we really don't pay attention to it. Like, to be honest with you, like, you will hear stuff and see stuff, but, like, we don't really pay it no mind. Like, we don't really buy into it. And, like, man, like, it's nothing that ever comes up to us as players that we address. Like, bro, y'all hear them talking about us? Like, so, like, the type of group we have, like, it's easy not to pay attention to it because no one ever brings it up or even, you know, buy into it.
Or Mitch has the TVs turned off. Then you can't see it either. Or can't even read the scroll. That was a big story here this week. And one of the writers, I don't know how much you pay attention, Dan Wiederer in the Tribune today said, yeah, it's just an easy opportunity for talk show hosts and the talking heads and the bloggers to fire from the cheap seats. There's nothing to see here, folks, basically was what I inferred from his column. I'm not so sure I agree with that, but how do you feel about it?
About what you mean? About what? I haven't seen it.
Well, if there's, you know, was it a story that your quarterback is, you know, are we by spending hours on this radio station over the course of a week, I would think, talking about that and what that means, is that just verbal masturbation?
For us to talk about who, Mitch, or about the Bears?
When Mitch said to turn
trying
off
to get
the
TVs. Some of these TVs in the building turned off.
Yeah, that stuff.
Oh. I'm not sure. I don't even know if he really, like, meant that or he was just, you know, just, like, joking. But he didn't say anything about that to us or anybody. So I don't know if it was just, you know, just him making a little joke or just a comment. But I feel like that's all it was.
Yeah, it's, you know, because it's an interesting thing. Like, I know you guys all say that you don't pay attention to it. But then, you know, I see you on social media, like, all you guys, not just you. Like, you guys are out there. And, you know, NFL Network will be on up at House Hall or something like that. I would just... It seems hard for me to believe that you don't at least know that the conversation is happening.
Oh, no, I never said we don't know that it's happening. I said we just don't buy into it. Like,
yeah.
We, like, you see it, but it's just like it's nothing that, you know, sit up here and lingers with us that we have to go in the locker room and talk about or feel a type of way about. You know, and I feel like just, you know, being an NFL athlete over the years, you learn how to deal with those things. Like, it's going to come. You know, some of us had one of our, you know, best years. And like me, I played solid last year, and I still see people say negative things about me. So it's just, you know, it's going to always be something said. So I feel like as players, we just, you know, you accept it and just don't buy into it.
We're talking to Eddie Jackson here on The Score. You guys win this game. I was wondering about this. You guys going to do Club Dub and do your full celebration again, even though it's been a tough year?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. We're going to stick with what we've been doing, you know, and that's just the motivation, though, to get back and clubbed up. Me and A-Rod was talking about it the other day, like, man, it's felt like it's been forever since we've been in clubbed up.
Yeah, week four against the Vikings. Remember that?
Yeah, exactly. It's been forever.
So, I mean, but that type of thing is openly talked about then, that motivation to get back to celebrating.
Yeah, exactly. It really is, you know, and for us, in the defense back end, you know, we got celebrations that we, you know, we want to be put out there. So we got to score and make plays on the ball and just create those turnovers.
Have the guys who have been asked to replace Akeem Hicks by committee started to feel more comfortable with their roles?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, everyone is bought in, you know, and like we got Blau, you know, he's a young guy. You know, he looks up to King kinda, you know, King keeps him under his wing. And, you know, King just being around, just helping those guys, coaching them up and all those type of things, you know, it's also helping them, you know, and for them to go out there week in and week out and see what they need to do or fix on film, help build that confidence and, you know, get them that chip on their shoulder. Like, all right, we can do this. We can, you know, we got it. But everyone's buying in and everything's looking good on the defense side of the ball. We just kind of continue to, you know, come out Sunday, play how we play and eliminate the mistakes.
I was going to say, how do you compare, you know, we're halfway through the season, this year's defense to last year's?
More mistakes, you know, we've more minute errors, you know, doing things, shooting ourselves in the foot, you know, especially last game. You know, I feel like that was like the most we've ever been penalized. And, what, a quarter or two quarters, you know, especially on crucial downs, third downs, fourth downs, get off the field, things like that. So it's just, you know, we just got to continue to eliminate those mistakes and stop shooting ourselves in the foot, get better playing that discipline type of football, you know, attention to details and eyes in the right spot and things, all those type of things. And that's what we need to do.
Are those encroachment penalties, offsides penalties, Eddie, just over anxiousness?
Yeah, I feel like they was. You know, guys just anxious to make a play, and you know, and especially when it gets like that, you know, especially to this type of point where we know we got to go out there, we got to make a play. You know, I feel like guys know that, so it's just everyone's just anxious and ready. But that's I feel like that's all that was.
Eddie, there's a lot of ex-Bears who do media in this town, and you know, I'm in my early 30s, and my entire life, the defense has been better than the offense on the Bears.
I'm 58 and I can say the same.
So it's just like a thing around here, and we have these ex-players who said, and you know, they admittedly they say it after they leave, right? They're not saying it in season usually, but they talk about how it was tough to have to feel like they had to be perfect or to carry the offense and any of that. How do you guard against that?
Oh, just going out there, control what we can control. And the type of model we have in the defensive room is, like I said, if they don't score, they don't win. You know, that's just the model, you know. And us, we always want to keep a team to under, you know, what 14 points. But to us, our guys, we always tell us, ourselves, like, hey, if they don't score, they don't win. So for us, we just got to control that part of the game and creating turnovers. You know, giving our offense chances, you know, quick turnarounds, sudden turnarounds, so us going out there, creating a turnover, you know, because, you know, some of the games we lost a turnover battle, you know, and you compare it to last year, compare it to this year, if you look at it, we led the league in turnovers last year, so those guys had multiple chances to do things with the ball, and right now we're not giving them the ball, so I feel like that all ties into one another. So for us, we just got to go out there, we got to create turnovers. I won't say, oh, we got to be perfect, but everyone wants to be perfect. But at the end of the day, like I said, the bread is in the pudding, whatever they say. You know, we just got to get the ball back.
The proof is in the pudding. Yeah.
The proof is in the pudding. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but bread pudding is delicious.
Bread pudding is good now.
I'm a rice pudding man myself. I like finding the proof in the rice pudding.
Proof in the rice pudding. It's perfect.
Proof in the rice pudding. Yeah, man. But if you pay attention to it, last year we created 30-something turnovers. So we
36.
Those guys. Yeah, we gave those guys a lot of chances to get the ball and make things happen. Right now, we're not giving them the type of chances. So, for us on the deep side of the ball, we got to step up and do our part, which is create turnovers.
Dude, it's tough to make all these expressions stick when you're getting a massage during an interview. You know what I mean? It's hard. Bread pudding, rice pudding, it's all very confusing. But now on to important matters, Eddie. Is Tua going to play?
Oh, man, I don't know. I feel like that's a game-time decision. You know, it's tough because he did it last year. You know, and I feel like right now it's LSU. They're playing good, but at the same time, you got to think about your future and the future of the team. Because if you go out there, you're not 100%, you get hurt. Now you set yourself back with the team and, you know, you for combine. And, you know, because sometimes you got to think about your future. You know, he's a selfless guy. Sometimes you got to be selfish, you know, right now. And just got to think of the bigger picture, you know, national championship, the draft, and things like that. So I'm really not sure.
What are you going to do for the game? Bama LSU, for anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about. What are you going to do?
Just sit home. You know, I got some family coming to town, so we're going to sit home and watch it. You know, get the chef to cook tomorrow and, you know, just relax and watch the game for a little, then head downtown to the hotel.
Tuscaloosa is going to be the place to be. I've been there once, 2011, and just refreshing myself, and it was Alabama LSU. They rematched later for the national championship, but I was just looking at the players I saw that night just to refresh. My God, there were NFL players all over the field that night. That was quite an atmosphere, man. It's everything people told me Alabama was going to be, the experience.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I always tell people, like, if you want to go to a game and really, like, experience a real Bama game, go to a Bama versus LSU game or a Bama versus Auburn when they're good.
Yeah, you guys lost 9-6 that night, though.
Yeah, and then came back 2011. They didn't cross the 50. I mean, the championship, they didn't cross the 50, though.
That's true. That is very true.
Troublesome for us over players.
Yeah. So Kevin Tolliver, he went to LSU. He's on the squad. Yep. You guys have a bet or anything like that?
Yeah, we got a friendly bet.
What are the stakes?
Just, you know, got to come in where Alabama jersey and push-ups on site. So he got to give me push-ups on site. He can be in a store with his mom, and I tell him, call him, I need 5 push-ups. He got to drop down and give me 5 push-ups.
I like it. That's pretty good.
And it's inexpensive, too. Yeah. Just embarrassing.
Yeah.
Yeah, just embarrassing.
Well, those are the best kind of bets. Well, listen, man, enjoy the game and get a pick six. All right, can you tell us what the celebration's going to be if you get one?
We got a couple. It might be the soccer. You know, when they try to score the goal. What is it called?
Like the penalty kick?
The penalty kick.
Yeah, the penalty kick. We got the penalty kick. And we got the one when the queen unites people. We got that one. We got a few more. Don't want to give them all out. Somebody might be listening.
Just get in the damn end zone and we'll watch.
Yeah. Also, Dan, congratulations, man. I heard you find out you're having a baby, man. Congratulations.
Hey, thanks, Eddie. I appreciate that, man. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Going to be a dad in March. You got any advice for me? You're not a dad. Are you a dad? I don't know.
No, I'm not a dad.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'll figure it out for the both of us then, man. I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah. When you figure it out, just give me that advice for future references.
All right. Yeah, I'll be sure to. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate that. Have a good one. All right.
All right. Thanks
Eddie. We'll see you.
Thank you. That's Eddie Jackson with us each and every week. The segment brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. What? The proof is in the bread pudding?
Between Dave today earlier and some of his gems.
Matthew
Staffew. He gets so excited. His mouth doesn't keep up with his brain sometimes.
Yeah, man.
And the bread being in the pudding.
Born in the bayou.
I got born in the bayou. He's got a knee in the bayou.
Listen, man. I mean, at some point, what are we doing here? Just hanging out, talking sports.
Yeah, Parkins. And he heard the last segment. He heard Rick Camp talking about MD-4040s. That's why he got his pudding thing messed up.
We were talking yesterday. You said one of the first reactions you had to the expected arrival date of your son was, oh, my God, I'm going to miss Scorehouse.
That was one of the things I thought about, yeah.
That came up today when I saw the big boss, Jimmy DeCastro.
Really?
Yeah, I said, yeah, his baby is due mid-March. He's going to miss Scorehouse. And he said, nah, he'll still be there.
Scorehouse.
All the confidence in the world that you will, if you know, due March 15th, is it 14th, I think you said?
16th, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So if it's as long as you're back by the 15th, you'll be good, right?
Man, I don't know how this works. Some of them say, you know, you shouldn't be traveling within 2-3 weeks of the due date. Other people say, you know, as long as you're willing to get on a plane, go do your thing. If Steph lets me travel, I'll travel.
I got on a plane 6 days before the birth of my first son, and I was nervous as hell it was going to happen when I was in New York covering the Bears playoff loss to the Giants for the old AM loop. But fortunately, he waited until the All-Star game, the NHL All-Star game, the next Saturday.
That's great. I'd feel forever terrible if I missed the birth of my first child or any of my children. So
you'll be there for the number two.
You think so? Yeah. I do.
Why does Jimmy know
house.
You though? Doesn't he? He'll be there. Yeah. Fully confident. You'll do the right thing.
Yeah, he's not
be in Arizona.
He's not totally wrong about what I want to do in that moment. But you know, happy wife, happy life, Mac. If Steph says I can travel, I'll go. If she says I can't, I will ask for some orange juice and probably stay home.
That's probably the best
that's
thing.
Probably, at least that's what I'm going to say right now.
So how long is Steph going to get into this pregnancy? 7 months, 8 months? What are we looking at here before you stop demanding the orange juice in the morning?
It's not a demand. It's a request.
Clearly.
In a loving partnership. She's happy.
I'm sure if we asked her, it'd be the same response she gives.
I do plenty of things.
You look at the dog and hope it walks itself.
I usually walk the dog at least
once
a day.
Wishes the dog exercise.
Yeah. Dude, I'm
hey,
good.
Twitter world, it's me, OJ Mahomes.
Okay. Let's keep that man away from the idea of me and my wife having a baby, Tanny. OJ Mahomes. I give her back rubs and shoulder rubs. Good strong hag, do that.
Danny's like on Twitter on one hand, yeah, Steph.
I do that.
It's great.
She sometimes will catch me doing that. Yeah, she will catch me doing the scroll and the one-handed
rub. The one-handed
neck.
Rub?
Wait, yeah. Where's the other hand?
Yeah, well, she asked that question a time or two. Thank you. Thank you, Shep. Shep Campy over here. Thank you.
Obviously, it's on your MD-4040.
My number that I threw at him, MD-4040.
Of course.
Oh, right. Yeah, all right.
It's booze.
Oh. We're giving away Bulls tickets.
Bulls Rockets tickets, right? Tomorrow night's big game. Do we have Rockets tickets?
No, it's Bulls Nets.
Oh, we're giving away Bulls Nets tickets. I thought we were getting Rockets tickets.
You can see.
Yeah,
you
that's next up for team.
You got any tickets laying around? Let me know.
Yeah, you can see Kyrie. We'll tell you how to win them next on The Score.
Satoransky on the left wing throws it down. Thomas Satoransky.
You got any tickets laying around? Let me know.
Sure we do, Coach. Caller number 7 on the Scores contest line. 312-591-6700. You win a pair of tickets to see the Bulls take on the Nets at the United Center November 16th. That's 312-591-6700. Caller number 7. It's courtesy of 670 The Score, Chicago's official radio home of the Bulls.
I can't hear Wani asking for tickets enough. And we hear it regularly, and I love it every time.
It's fantastic.
You got any tickets laying around? Let me know.
Oh, I'm going to make that my ringtone.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Want to ride a Zamboni on the ice during intermission of a Wolves game? Sign up to take a spin on the new Turtle Wax Icebox. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES to learn more. We are winners. We are the Wolves. This segment brought to you by Amco Total Transmission and Car Care. Amco offers easy payment options, including up to 12 months interest-free payments. Search AAMCO. That's AAMCO, transmissions, and a whole lot more. Financing subject to third-party approval. See local dealer for details.
Parkins, it has been some time since the Bears won a playoff game, and it doesn't appear that that's going to be changing this coming January. But I was digging around this morning on just how long the Lions fans have suffered, and we talked about it with Len Casper on Tuesday's show in the 3 o'clock hour. So I was thinking, what other events were going on the last time the Detroit Lions won a playoff game?
Sure.
Gas was $1.06 a gallon. The Score was in its fourth day of broadcasting in the station's history.
Wow.
When the Lions won on January 5th. They pounded the Cowboys 38-6. Jeffrey Dahmer in January of 92 pleaded guilty. Claimed insanity. That trial was going on. Our first President Bush threw up on a dignitary for another country. That was big in January of 92. And I think it was on the same day as the playoff win. Bill Cowher was named as the second head coach in the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's how long it has been since the Detroit Lions won a playoff game. And we don't even have to... I don't even want to think about their last championship, which came in 1957. That's
that was your seventh year in radio.
Yeah.
4 days on the air, though, for the Score.
Yeah, we're in our fourth day on the air. Our first Super Bowl with the Score was the Washington Redskins beating the Bills at the Metrodome. And that was the Thurman Thomas couldn't find his helmet game. That was the first Super Bowl we covered, yeah.
Lions not a very good team.
So it's not all bad. I mean, just think about that. That is
insane.
This is a charter franchise. This is a team. You know, they've had how many? 53 Super Bowls. Is this going to be 53 or 54 this year?
I think this is Super Bowl 54.
This is 54.
I thought so, but
not once has that silver helmet with the Honolulu Blue Kitty Cat appeared on a Super Bowl ticket. Not once. The only NFC team yet to appear in a Super Bowl. Four teams have never gotten there. They're the only ones in the NFC. That's kind of remarkable when you think about it.
It is. Not getting to a Super Bowl, it is Super Bowl 54 this year. And then when I think of Lions futility, I still think of arguably the greatest running back, arguably the most physically gifted wide receiver, both retiring with plenty left in the tank. And in Barry Sanders' case, within a season of the all-time rushing record, because I don't want to play for the Lions anymore.
I don't think he wanted to play, period.
I know, but just the idea, like if they were a competitive team and a contending team, you'll never convince me that he wasn't going to continue, at least to get that record and play more football.
Asked him about that, and he denies that.
I know.
He said he'd lost his love for the game. This was maybe a dozen years or so ago. It was shocking news. It wasn't done... On his part, it could have been handled a lot better. He waited until after the draft, and I think that was a mistake he made. And a lot of Lions fans to this day, not a lot, I shouldn't say. I think they've mellowed on that in terms of their disdain for him. It was pretty strong right out of the gate that he left them hanging like that. But yes, they've had some tremendous individual talents over the years, and one of them was on the station today. I did not catch the Herman Moore interview with Bernstein and McKnight.
I missed it also.
But I've heard him on the station in recent years. I can't remember where it was last year, but he was on the station last year. I think Bernstein and Spiegel talked to him last year. But he was one of, when the trend was moving toward big physical wide receivers, he might have been the first in the division in the 90s. I remember being a real effective player, a great football player.
84? 84 his jersey number?
Yes.
Yeah,
Herman Moore was shirt number 84.
I remember watching him on those Thanksgiving games and feeling like he was unfair. Like, he's so much bigger than everybody.
Yeah.
Just throw it up to him.
Yeah, and that was one of our favorite Wayne Larrabee-isms that we used to play on the score over and over again when Wayne was still doing the Bears games. The Bears were getting pounded by the Lions, and he paints the picture for you. Receivers draped to the right and left side. Brett Perriman up top of the screen. Herman Moore, Johnny Morton is in the slot. Mitchell drops back to pass, and why not? Because they were shredding the Bears' secondary. Mitchell back to pass, and why not? More arrogance!
I hate so much that call is looking like it was correct. I hate it so much because, like, you see all the feedback on social media of Matt Nagy. What an arrogant or smug coach. And I'm like, God, our guy Wayne Larrabee, I killed him for that quote. But looks like he might have been prescient with it.
Yeah, he was.
Congrats to Pat and Aurora, the winner of the Bulls Nets ticket.
Just Pat?
I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Take a shot at it. It can't be.
Thwaites?
Thwaites.
Thwaites. So I
Thwaites.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Pat Thwaites.
We also should mention Lawrence. I didn't get all of the details on it, but he's got a charity function tomorrow night, right, for cystic fibrosis. He said CCFA.org was
Crohn's.
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 What did I say?
Yeah, cystic fibrosis. Yeah. Right. Cystic fibrosis, a breathing disorder. Crohn's, an intestinal deal.
I apologize.
They're close. They're all related to the body.
CCFA.org is the website he said that you could go to.
Yeah, he's got that going tomorrow night, and Bernstein's got a big night tonight, a big weekend for Camp One Step. Good to see teammates getting involved, rolling up their sleeves and raising money for charity, and that raise the ante for us. We'll see if we can get something going this winter, maybe. We'll do the golf outing again next summer if we're all around. But something this winter. Then, you know, maybe we resurrect Bowl-O-Rama. That's an easy event to do. It really is. And
That'd be fun.
It's you do it on a Saturday, you get lots of celebrity participation. It's only a couple hours of somebody's time instead of the 5-hour commitment to play golf in a charity outing.
Yep, poker tournaments are really long too. So yeah, no, bowling charity events work very well.
Can we throw Wani on his own lane all afternoon? Was on his
Sandy Penn's laying
all
around.
Hey, let me know. I'm not much of a bowler.
It was one of those bowleramas where I met Bob Probert when he was with the Hawks, and he did the line from Animal House. Was it Flounder?
Was that the only line he did?
Well, he did. No, yeah, that day it was. When Flounder comes up and says, "You guys playing cards?"
Yeah.
It was Flounder, right?
Yes, Dan Levitard. Flounder. Yeah.
Probert walks over to us. He goes, "You guys bowling?" Yeah.
What was your first clue?
We are, Proby. We're bowling here.
Just a couple of guys, you know, dudes bowling.
This is a ball. Those 10 things down there, white, kind of shaped like
big
Ted
gulps,
Coppin.
Huh?
Those are pins.
Yeah,
exactly.
See you around.
Catch you later. Big gulps.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Just bowling. Hey, listen, the charity stuff is obviously fantastic, but Tanny and I giving presents to each other tonight. We have a mandate seeing the Irishman.
I love that.
3.5 hours.
You two are
That's
adorable
not a euphemism
together.
Either.
No, I know. A 3.5 hour theater experience because neither of our wives would possibly be interested.
And I'm already yawning, so it's not a good sign. But I think, you know, once we get there, I'll be excited and the adrenaline will get me through.
Tanny read the book.
Yeah, I got an edge in that department.
Yes.
I can watch it more attentively, you know, comparing it in my head to the book. So
have some coffee.
I did at the beginning of the program. I did, and I'm considering having some more.
Have some more, right? Especially if Parkins has his pen on him.
No.
Oh, that's right. You're off the pen.
I'm trying.
Nothing to do with being a father. Something to do with his lungs staying healthy.
No, these news stories, man.
They're horrifying.
They scare me. So,
what scares you more, the pen or flying one of those Boeing jets? That was grounded.
The 737 MAX 7s or 6s or whatever.
I'll pretend to know what the number is. Yes, that one.
Those planes.
Those scare you more than the pen?
Yeah, Shep, they're still grounded. You were like, I'd get in that plane tomorrow.
I would.
Really? Brilliant. Two of them have crashed, and it looks like it's going to tank and be a huge problem for Boeing. He's like, yeah, I'll get in that plane. Are you crazy?
Probably.
He's fearless.
But I told you, I had my pilot guy.
I know.
Break it down for me and say that it's a lot of bark without any bite.
Except for the two planes that crashed.
you take the, like Wani used to always say, you take out the 65-yard run and they only average 3 yards a carry.
Yeah, right. I understand. I get it. But no, which
it
scares me more?
It weren't for three plays, coach.
Which one's?
Coach, it's just three plays. We lost.
Put your mouth piece in, because here we go.
Trust. Yeah.
Take those two planes that went down out. We're fine, coach. Coach Mack. That was a highlight today.
I thought Dave McGinnis was in the room. He's always Coach Mack. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sure. I remember the first time Wani called me coach, I felt like I arrived in Chicago.
That was good for you.
I felt so good.
Moved a little bit.
It really did.
Where's Grody at today? Was he supposed to be with us?
He's coming up for transition. He's on after us. We're going to talk to Moby Dick in a minute.
Usually I see him floating around.
We have to unlock him.
That's right.
Well, I want to do a rock and roll note, if I may, before we go to break here. We'll get Grody in a little bit.
That's fine.
Some great news. There's great news for everybody, whether you like my band or not, doesn't matter. 4th of July falls on a Saturday this coming year. Isn't that good? I think it's good.
What does the floating holiday look like? Do we get that still? That's what I want to know.
Well, I know where I'm going to be on the 3rd of July. I'll be in Tinley Park. The Pretenders are on the bill with Journey. Can't help you with Journey, but the Pretenders rock. And here they are on the Score Sports Radio 670 with McNeil and Parkins.
Middle of the road, he's trying to find me. I'm standing in the middle of life with my pants behind me. I got a smile for everyone I meet. As long as you don't tie dragging my bay or dropping the bomb on my street. Now come on, baby. Get in the road. Come on now. In the middle of the road, yeah.
Pretenders, maybe?
You are correct, sir.
Was that Joan Jett? Was she the lead singer of the Pretenders?
Yeah,
no, it was Chrissy Hynde, right?
Chrissy Hynde, yeah.
You guys don't have to get angry at me. Here's a pitch down low.
Full Moby.
Moby Ditka. In studio.
It's a Switch the Samples Friday.
The Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today.
I'll thump your skull for you Wednesday.
This
is a show every day.
It's going to be a hell Monday.
Hell, he must have said something Tuesday.
Oh, Grody, you tickle me.
You guys
big
just
fat
go.
Person Monday.
Good Lord.
The things that could happen. By the way, first of all, real quick, like, congratulations, Danny.
Oh, thanks.
I was listening when you broke the news yesterday. Danny Papa. That is
Papa Danny, yeah.
That's scary but wonderful. So congratulations to you, and good to see Shep back. Shep, I love you. Congratulations on your baby girl. I know we text, but that's not the same as being able to look at you through the glass window and actually say this to you. So congratulations, kid.
Thanks from your goldfish bowl there, Mark Grody.
Yes, stay out of my goldfish bowl. We are all here together.
How
Hi, guys.
My number How that I threw at him, MD4040.
How was your week in Lake Forest? Was it challenging repertorially?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was challenging, but I think that for the most part, there was the players were pretty much coached on what they were sort of unified on what they were going to say, and that was the idea of being 1-0. We're not worried about the distractions. There's no conflict between offense and defense and all those kind of things. So basically, we're, as the media, guilty of asking the same questions and they're giving the same answers because it's all about the four-game losing streak. Unfortunately, there wasn't a whole lot of talk about, hey, what's the Detroit defense like? Hey, what about Matthew Stafford and Galladay and Marvin Jones? Like, we barely got into that because, obviously, of Mitchell Trubisky and what he said about the televisions, when, in fact, the real news of this week, if you want to know what the real news of this week was, it was the potential switch at offensive line.
Yep.
And between Cody Whitehair and James Daniels. That was the biggest news, but it was obviously hijacked by a bigger story.
Olin Krutz lit the Bears up with us at 2:30 today for that. He is not a fan. He wants to see James Daniels play the center position and let him continue to learn it because he thinks he's going to be damn good at it.
He said that's a quarterback costing someone else's their job.
It's a good way to put it. The only thing that I would say is that some sort of change has to be made, whether it's a change that needs to be made or if it's a symbolic change. Something has to be done. The offense, the Bears offense, is costing this team this season. They're costing them a potential, you know, place in the playoffs this year. So what other changes can you make to this offense? You're not going to replace the quarterback.
They didn't go out and find a better right tackle or a better left tackle. I don't know if either of those are doable given the money they're paying those two cats, but that's not money well spent because their problems are, I think, more at tackle than they are interior. Their tackles are bad.
But there's no – I don't see somebody on the roster. If you believe that, is there somebody on the roster – that you can make the switch with? So, I mean, you put Rashad Coward out there. The only change along the offensive line that would be logical, and you could argue against it, as Olin Krutz apparently has, but the only logical change would be to move James Daniels to guard and put Cody Whitehair at center, where there was success last year for both of those guys at both of those positions.
Phone bills and foot lockers. That's from a few good men. I hope these guys haven't tied their hopes to phone bills and foot lockers. Jack Nicholson is Colonel Jessup.
Hal. It's a Hal Tuesday. That's right. We're going to hear from Khalil Mack tonight. It was Khalil Mack Day today at Hallis Hall. I love Mack, and here's why I love Mack. Because he hates talking, but when he does talk, it's very good, and there's no BS with Khalil Mack, and you will hear 5 substantive minutes with Khalil Mack.
Those are my favorite kinds of minutes.
Right? I mean, I've only got 45 minutes, so I've got to make it great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll catch all 45 of yours, then whatever else we got coming up on a Friday night commute. Parkins and Tannehill have a date. They're going to see the movie, The Irishman, together.
Oh, is that tonight?
Yeah, we're seeing The Irishman, 3.5-hour movie theater going experience.
Is it on Netflix?
Paint houses, or I hear you paint houses.
It's on Netflix at the end of the month when Eli Hershkovich leaves town.
Okay.
Yeah, November 27th, I think, is when it's on.
Oh, so Netflix. What time is it tonight?
We're seeing a 7:30 show. Where are we seeing it, Tanny?
I mean, well, hey, come on.
Okay, we're seeing
at a theater.
It. Yeah, I don't know. Tanny got the tickets. I mean, I am like his date. He's driving. He got the movie tickets. Yeah,
I bet it's the Streeterville neighborhood.
I bought the dinner, like the pizza that was just delivered. So yeah, it's gonna be good. And then I'm gonna
do the door test with you, like from Bronxdale.
Okay, perfect. You gotta walk through. This guy.
Yeah. Cologne, yeah. What's his name?
And then I'm going
Cologino.
That's it.
And then I'm going to McNeil Manor on Sunday for football.
He told me that when his little lamb shop, and that's me, and Dan dined last week. He told me that you guys have a big date coming up.
Yeah. So. Very excited. A lot of show bonding this weekend.
Most of it. Hey, yeah. Tanny, shot in the dark. You want to go to a movie sometime or go dancing?
I appreciate you taking the leap. Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah, all right, cool. Wow.
Put yourself out there, Grody.
I feel better about this. This is great.
We had Olin Krutz on the show. We had Dave Wanstead on the show. We had Eddie Jackson on the show. We also had Matt Jones, who is a Bears fan, but you would know him from Breaking Bad. He was Badger in Breaking Bad and El Camino. Told stories today at 3 o'clock. You can check out the podcast if you want. And if you missed Jeremy Roenick yesterday, big stories on Michael Jordan and golfing and degeneracy and all that.
Been a fun week. We'll get back after it on Monday at 2 o'clock. Hopefully we'll have some chicken here. If not, we'll have leftover brisket from the get-together Sunday.
Either way, sounds like we're winning.
Yeah, we're going to have food.
Nick Shepkowski's our executive producer.
No vegetables.
Chris Tannehill handles all the sound around here. He's Dan McNeil. I'm Danny Parkins. We are McNeil and Parkins. Mark Grody coming up next. This is The Score.
You know, the bread, what it is, the bread is in the pudding, whatever they say, you know, we just got to get the ball back.
The proof is in the pudding. Yeah.
The proof is in the pudding. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but bread pudding is delicious.
Bread pudding is good now.
I'm a rice pudding man myself. I like finding the proof in the rice pudding.
Proof in the rice pudding. It's perfect.
Proof in the rice pudding. Yeah, man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.